Okay, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we have myself, Jacob, and Zane. Now, we have our first guest on the program today. Her name is Manver Kaur, and she has been a member of the Indian community who has been heavily involved in organising solidarity with the Indian farmer protest, which have been ongoing since September last year. So, yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Jacob. Thank you so much for calling me and giving me a chance to speak on behalf of Indian community and farmers.
Yeah. So I guess the first kind of question I want to ask, Manver, is the Indian farmer protests have been going on since September last year. And I guess for the kind of benefit of our kind of listeners who might not know much about the kind of issues, what can you tell us about the background to these protests?
So, yes, we all see that there are tens of thousands of farmers right now protesting on Indian roads. What had happened that during the pandemic, during September, the Indian government had actually pushed through three contentious farming laws, which were without following any due parliamentary procedures in both the houses, like Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha. And these farming laws, in view of the farming associations and, you know, opposition parties, have been drafted to help the big corporates and the capitalists, just like Mr. Ambani, Adani, and so. And the government first brought three ordinances and then later on pushed them as bills during COVID period. What was the urgency? I mean, moreover, what was the government losing by not passing these laws?
And what can you tell us, I guess, tell us a bit more in detail. What can you tell us in more detail about these kind of free kind of farm acts that have been kind of passed by the parliament? And of course, maybe a bit more kind of detail on sort of like what are kind of the implications for the farmers themselves? Because I think that would give a better sort of sense of why these farmers, why farmers around India have been mobilising great numbers against these laws.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that. Firstly, the first law would be on the bill on agri market farmers, which is produce, trade and commerce. So in simple language, the first one is a market bill. So according to this bill, a new private market could be opened parallel to the existing government one. I think it might sound exciting for a few people, but the thing is, private markets won't have to pay any tax to the state, to the government, and anyone having PAN card can open a market. So ultimately, it will lead to the collapse of the existing government market, which is a mandi, which is APMC in India, and especially in few of the states like Punjab, Haryana, and UP, from where this protest had been started, initiated, then the farmers will be left at the mercy of the corporate. And with the second law, which is, in simple words, is a contract farming one, again, many clauses to read. I mean, there is a lot of paperwork to read on that. But basically, what's disturbing is that these both two laws take away the right of the farmers to approach the civil court. I mean, there is no clause where a farmer can reach to the court or sue a case against the corporator or the one who is involved in agreement. All the matters concerned with the payment or any other issue have to be solved by the bureaucrats, and which is corrupt to the core, as evident. And with the third law, see, it will hit the consumers more, as well as the farmers, which is the Essential Commodities Act. And as per this law, the government did amend earlier this law for hoarding of certain food items, which is in terms of storage. Now there is no limit. One can store as much as they can. Before, the government was responsible for making the balance within the demand and supply. Now, this will lead to high prices, and this law is more important from the consumer's point of view.
And just going into a bit more, you kind of alluded that these laws have been kind of implemented at the benefactories of capitalists within India, especially the likes of kind of Adani. What do some of those forces stand to gain in terms of the kind of passing of these laws?
So they just want to, have a control over the market, which is not just limited to India. So they're trying to get a world, leaders in terms of industrialists or marketers. So they have already privatized all other sections in India, which the government was running. So this is very dangerous. And this is definitely a return of, political campaigns they did for Mr. Modi and BJP government. So it's clearly seen that, he had been doing favors to these capitalists.
And now that we've sort of given quite a very kind of good explanation of the kind of implications, I guess, of these farm acts as they kind of have been passed by the parliament. What can you tell us about the demands of this kind of massive kind of protest movement in India, especially as it's being kind of led by farmers? What are they kind of fighting for, and what are some of the demands that they're kind of pushing?
Jacob, the demands are very simple and logical. So the farmers, they just want total repeal of these laws and make the minimum support price legal, which is MSP. And as per them, as per farmers, the MSP should have been the legal right of the farmers by now. But no one has actually cared to do so. India following the open market to the USA, but do they even know how much money they put in as subsidies for agriculture? So if government wants to bring a change, that's fine, but not at the cost of the livelihood of the farmers. So they can take the risk at their own peril. So it's just very simple that there should be total repeal of these laws, although the government is ready to make some amendments, but farmers, they do not agree.
And one of the things, some of the stories that I've been kind of reading in the media regarding these protests has been a lot of the protests have been met with heavy kind of police kind of repression. And what can you tell us a bit more about the response of the government to these massive protests?
See, the government response has been very adamant in retaining these farm laws. And as you have mentioned, that you have been reading stories of, handling it violently. Yes. So the government has actually failed to respond to the protesters. First, they have just violated the human rights of protesters, because India is a country where you are free to protest. But government is not letting the farmers in capital state. And which is why they were putting barricades and, handling it very harshly. Though they were ready, though the government was ready to amend the bills as per the will of the farmers, but not ready to appeal them. So amendment seems a good option. This is how the government is trying to respond, but it's a good option if seen from the outside. But if you see it from the perspective of the government, keeping its bald promises, there are number of them. And then no one will believe this government. A fascist government is ruling India right now. And, journalists are jailed for voicing their opinions. College students are jailed for supporting farmers. Recent being Disha, an environmental activist. And she was behind the bars for sedition law charges, which was against anyone not falling in line with the ideology of the government. So India has turned from a free country to partly free in the last 6 years. So government is using any and every sort of heavy violence, putting maybe marshals and forces just against the farmers and even the normal public who are just coming and, coming on the roads or rallying towards the parliament.
Yeah, it's, quite a high stakes battle between this fascist government and very powerful social movements. Manveer, I was hoping we could just come back to that Mundi system. So my understanding is the Mundi system, farmers pay a small tax, and in return for that, there's a sort of state monopoly that handles the collection of produce for an agreed price, no matter whether you're a small farmer or a big farmer.
Yep.
And then they handle collecting that, transporting it to markets, whether that's for export or for selling within India, and the distribution of that. So it's kind of quite easy for small farmers to work through this Mundi system. And that the proposal is about upending that and inserting this corporate control. Are you able to tell us how much of the overall agricultural produce in India goes through this Mundi system?
It basically goes from Punjab, Haryana, and UP state very clearly, because there had been no implementation of this Mundi system in any other states in India. And it's just within the Punjab and Haryana. So the state governments, they have been able to, build infrastructure on the basis of the agriculture tax that it had been paid. And as you said, on the farmers' point of view, who are actually under that poverty line or who are the marginalized one, as per the data, it's just from the Punjab, Haryana, and UP state.
Okay. And so would you also say that there's a sort of a city versus country dynamic in these laws from the BJP to smash that Mundi system?
BJP, it's not now the city versus the country. Now all other states have come together because the farmers' demands, the farmers who were protesting from Punjab and Haryana, they have had a collective demand that they want to implement Mundi system in all over India, although it wasn't with other states, but the demands include it all over India. BJP government, for them, they play a religious card. So the BJP government is trying to give it a shape of just a Punjab state agitation. And that is all just on the basis of religious cards. So they are playing bad politics right now in India. So there is more tension that it seems, from outside while sitting here. So, yes, now it has become country versus government.
Yeah, so... what can you, I guess, going into, guess, the next kind of question, because you've given quite a very kind of good explanation for, why the kind of farmers have been protesting, but you've also been heavily involved in helping organise a kind of lot of solidarity work in Australia, especially with the number of protests that have happened, and I've been able to go attend some of them, and I think they've been very sizable in terms of the amount of people that have been mobilised from the Indian community. And I guess, what can you tell us about some of the solidarity work you have been doing in Australia?
I actually started being part of this since last October, but I myself organized from January. Like, I did organized rallies in city in Federation Square, so we could see thousands of mixed nationalities people coming and attending the event, and where we addressed speeches and we await the public. And following that, I organized another few rallies, a few of them in front of Parliament and then different suburbs, which were very peaceful. So my intention was to give message to the local public that we are not here to disturb your peace and harmony, or the peace and harmony of the land where we live in. But it's more like telling people that they need to open eyes what's happening behind, because, it will eventually impact environment here as well as Australia as a diverse country. So I had organized close to four rallies till now. And on the other hand, we are trying to approach the local politicians or representatives, submitting them reports and, you know, making them aware of how they should help human rights violation to stop in India by discussing this matter in parliament, as we see that Australia has a strategic alliance with India. And there are more agreements on agriculture and many other fields. So I think it is very much relevant to Australia as well now. And even in future, we are trying to hold such peaceful protests here as well.
Yeah. And I guess concluding a bit of this kind of interview, how can people, especially our listeners, support and stand in solidarity with the Indian farmers resisting these laws, and also supporting the kind of ongoing kind of solidarity work that you've been involved in?
So the listeners could go online. I mean, they can follow the pages on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which says Farmers Protests. So with the handle, which is Farmers Protest, and they can use like hashtag Farmers Protest. So they can see more updates on Farmers Matter. Farmers Matter. There is this group on Facebook, so where we keep on updating about all the programs or rallies and you know, current updates on what's happening in India. So even if they go to YouTube, they can simply search for Farmers Protests. So there will be more interviews on that, like BBC coverage on that. So they will get more idea if they can Google it or follow the Facebook pages like Farmers Matter, Farmers Protest, Stand with Farmers. So it will give them, you know, more information on what these laws are. And they should, I think, also join the public rallies whenever it's happening in cities. And they can always follow the updates from the Facebook pages. And even I have a page with Manveer Kaur official, so I always update on what's happening around. So if they want, they can follow this page as well for any updates.
Well, thank you very much, Manveer. And do you have, I guess, just to give you a bit of opportunity, do you have any, I guess, final comments you'd like to make before we conclude this interview?
Yes, I would just request, and I would just say that we should get more support from Australian people. As I myself had always been involved in any sort of volunteer work since I'm here, be it a bushfire, be it any other issues. So I'm always thinking it. You know, I'm a part of this land, and you know, it hurts me equally when there is any human rights violation or there is any pandemic or tragedy around me, and I would always volunteer for that. So I expect the same sort of support from my people here in Australia, that they should come forward and raise their voice against what's happening right now.
Well, thank you very much, Manveer, and I think it's been a very informative interview, and yeah, we'll definitely follow up on any sort of further kind of developments that happened on this and this ongoing sort of mass movement that's happening in India, which I think we're all finding very inspiring.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jacob. Thank you for letting my voice reach the public. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Manveer. So, yes.
Thank you.
Manveer Kaur talking to us about the massive wave of farmers' protests in India and how you can and should get involved and show your solidarity here in Melbourne and in other cities across Australia, because this is a really important campaign right now against a brutal right-wing fascist government in India of Narendra Modi. So, yeah, help out the farmers and get along to those protests as they continue to happen here.
Yeah, so you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR, 855 AM, and I'll just play a quick announcement.